There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
Engage.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that's everywhere. Signs, like signs and signs everywhere. There's
everything's telling you what to do.
There's Unique Geek 50 Days, something like that. Anyway, and joining me, as always, is the sign of the apocalypse, Lee.
Yes, that one I would say, actually. Yeah, I'd go with sign of the apocalypse right now. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
39 days.
Well, 42, actually.
Oh, is it 42?
According to the Dragon Con site.
Hold on. Oh, well, thank goodness. Yeah, oh, yeah, 42 days. I'll go with 42.
Yeah.
I will not argue that it is 42. I like that number much better.
Yep.
So, yeah. But, yeah, it's Dragon Con. It's almost time. I cannot believe it is almost time. It's going to be awesome.
It is almost time. And news that we missed telling folks before that if you are looking to just do a Saturday or Sunday only membership, those are now on sale at the Dragon Con store. So,
right. And I would say for some people, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, right now, as it is currently, you can pick it up for Saturday for $50 and Sunday for $45 and the full membership for $140. So that's where we are right now.
So, and I would say if you're somebody who's never come to Dragon Con, you've heard about it, or maybe you've even, if you're in Atlanta, you've seen the parade on TV and been like, oh, that looks like fun. Or just, I never go anywhere. If I'm wearing something Dragon Con in Atlanta, somebody be like, I go that. And I'm like, yay. So if you really are like, I don't know, it's the big crowds, it's all that, a Saturday or Sunday is a really good time to go. Because, yes, it's a lot of crowds, but you get to see kind of what Dragon Con is.
I would say if it were me and you had to pick a day, I would just do Sunday.
Mm-hmm. You would do,
I would not do Saturday. Saturday is B-A-N-N crazy.
B-A-N-N?
Well, I started to spell bananas.
Oh, bananas. Oh, okay. It is B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Oh, that's how it is spelled. Sure. Mm-hmm. I went to public school, so I don't know.
Somebody needs to listen to some more Gwen Stefani and Pink, but that's okay.
Well, you know, that would be horrible if it was like printed out and everything and misspelled that
way. It would be horrible. It would be horrible. And you know what else? But see, that's the good thing. If you go, there's always signs telling you where to go. Dragon Con puts it on our website and tells you stuff. But also when you're at Con, there's all of this signage telling you what hotel you're in, because John, you darn well know you don't know unless you see a sign, and telling you where to go in a nice way, where you want to go. And the person who does that is Megan, who's the director of signage. That is actually her title. I love it. Hi, Megan.
Hi.
I director of signage. Boom. There's no
but. Yeah, there's no questioning what it's about, what falls underneath signage. It is just signage.
So, and the signage is all over Dragon Con. So Megan, tell us a little bit, before we get started, this will be your first year on this. How did you get started even just with Dragon Con? How did you find it? How long were you going and volunteering and things like that?
So I was a very privileged child in that my mother and stepfather started me on D&D when I was 8 years old.
That's you know, that there are some good things there. That's raising the next generation.
They took me to my very first Dragon Con about 20 years ago. This year will be my 20th Dragon Con in a row.
Wow. Pretty awesome.
And I've been going since I was 13. So
13. Oh wow. Okay. Well
it was in one hotel.
Oh yeah, I know. 96. That's the last time it was in one hotel. That was the first year I came. Yeah. Or two, whatever. It was like, oh, we just went between this one, and there was no walkway. You had to go out on the street.
Mm-hmm.
The steps of death between the Hyatt and the Marriott.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, steps of death. You don't know what the steps of death are because we don't put a sign about them, but they are really terrible steps that go from basically the lobby level of the Hyatt down to the street level, which is straight across to the lobby of the Marriott if you've never been there, or if you have been there. And those steps are scary.
Yes, especially in heels.
Okay, but you started, your parents started you on D&D. So did you come to Dragon Con and do D&D, or what were you doing when you first started coming at 13?
When I first started coming at 13, I had recently discovered Sailor Moon. So I was bouncing around as Sailor Moon, and I had recently been playing in a, oh gosh, I don't even remember what the system was now. I think it might have been Villains and Vigilantes. We were playing a game where we actually went to Dragon Con in the tabletop.
And oh, wow.
Cool. My character was based off of a character from Ranma One Half, and we were going through, and they mentioned that one of the guests there was Apollo Smile, the real live anime girl.
Mm.
And 13-year-old me took great offense to this because I was convinced that I was the real live anime girl. And so I initially went to Dragon Con with the mindset of I'm going to go and challenge Apollo Smile for her title. I did not get any closer than like 15 feet from her.
You set your goal high.
I did.
Almost as high as those Hyatt stairs. You did an awesome. So you were actually dressed up as Sailor Moon or?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was a terrible cosplay, too.
Doesn't matter.
Very low quality. But it was fun and I had a blast.
Yep,
we've been going ever since. And it was about 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, I performed with the Atlanta Radio Theater Company for a few years.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, from about 2004 until 2011. 2010, I was looking for World of Warcraft content. And we were checking out some panels at the MMO track, and we're like, you know, this add-on panel seems a little unstructured. We feel like why aren't there any lore panels? Because World of Warcraft is a continuation of the storylines from the Warcraft games. I bet there's a lot of people that are playing World of Warcraft that have no idea what the story significance is of what's come before. And my husband and I at the time, we're like, well, what do we do? And I was like, well, let me look up the director and we'll reach out to them. And I'm sure they're open to suggestions. So we emailed Grim, Kevin, and we're like, hey, we just had this feedback on your content. And Kevin's response was, that sounds great. Do you want to do it?
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, okay. So yeah, we put in the effort. We put together some humorous PowerPoint presentations. Like, we take the animations of PowerPoint way beyond what PowerPoint ought to be. But making a humorous retelling of the lore of Warcraft from the start of the Warcraft games and novels all the way up to where we presently were in World of Warcraft.
Wow. And
We agreed to volunteer on Kevin's team. That was my first year, 2011, as a volunteer. And we also did there was also a panel on add-ons. And I helped coordinate the first returning WoW costume contest, which eventually morphed into the current video game costume contest.
Mm.
And for a few years running, coordinated the Dark Moon Fair event, which hilariously popped up at BlizzCon a couple years ago.
Oh, really?
Okay. That is really cool.
Yeah, not my Dark Moon Fair, but they started running a Dark Moon Fair right about the time that I stopped.
Very good. Yeah, it happens.
And so, it was through doing those lore presentations that we inadvertently entertained Jonathan LeCraft, who was a senior designer for World of Warcraft. He's now working on an unnamed project. And he thought we were so funny that at some point later on, when he was working on one of the last patches for the Mists of Pandaria expansion, he put us in the game.
Wow. Oh,
sweet.
So I have an NPC on the Timeless Isle.
That is really cool.
Yeah. Thank you, Dragon Con.
There you go. Thank you, Dragon Con. That is like the coolest thing. Wow.
So then at some point you got tired of Kevin.
Yeah.
And as or for legal reasons you had to get away from him. Which is probably more likely the case. Yeah, and then you moved over to signage from there, or?
Well, I continued to take on more responsibility on Kevin's team, and then there was an opening for a director in signage, and they needed somebody who was strong on communications and organization, and as a perk, had experience with Adobe Creative Suite. Well, I have all of those things, and so Kevin put me forth, nominated me as the first graduate of Grimmy U.
I bet he does call it that, doesn't he?
Yeah. Grimmy University.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I had an interview or a lunch interview with Dave Cody, and he offered me the spot, so I jumped in.
Very cool.
I still kind of sort of work for Kevin, because every time he has Blizzard guests, I still go and moderate panels for him. So there's about, like, last year there was like 8 hours that I disappeared from signage because I was over in the Westin moderating Blizzard stuff.
Because Kevin stole you, and, you know, he wasn't supposed to totally steal you, and that's what happened. Yeah, okay. Well, that's amazing. So, and you still go now. Are you bringing more people in? This sounds weird. Do you have kids? Do your parents still go? Things like that?
My parents don't go as much anymore. They're Eternal members. Yeah, they got in on that back when it was only like $500 for an Eternal membership.
By the way, $3,000 right now. Just looked at the price.
Yep.
But yeah, they'll come down with my little brother, who got his Eternal membership when he was like a year old. Way to look out. Yeah. my kids have come to con twice. I have two kids. I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. And last year, my partner and I and my kids, we all dressed up from Gravity Falls. So we did a family cosplay.
I love Gravity Falls.
Yeah, my youngest was Mabel. My oldest was Dipper. I was Wendy, and my partner was Coach Tyler.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. Oh, we need pictures of that, Megan. You need to send us some pictures of that so we can put that up, because Gravity Falls, John got me. He's like, how have you not watched Gravity Falls? I don't know. Oops. And then I watched it, and I like, it's an awesome show, and you can binge it now. I mean, I like binged, because there are 4 seasons, 5 seasons. I can't remember, but I binged it all in like 2 weeks, 3 seasons. Maybe it was that, but it was but they're only 30 minutes. It was, yeah, but it is a great show. It's one of those things you're like, I can't believe I didn't watch this more. So that's cool. So now signage, I don't think people realize how many signs there are at Dragon Con, because there are a lot.
Yes.
So how in the world do you organize this and get it? I can't even imagine trying to deliver even the track room signs daily. So ballroom signs. How do you do this?
So if you count all the signs, not just the foam core ones, but the smaller ones, like no playing Pokemon Go in the walkways, and all the like the disability services signs that go on the chairs to reserve spots and everything. All told, there's usually about 6,000 signs.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of printing.
Yes.
Yeah.
We try to preserve as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first stepped in as the director to get everything organized and make sure we were all using the proper logo, because it mm-hmm. changed, and then it changed immediately again, because we like purple better than blue.
Yes. Purple looks much better than the blue, yeah.
Yes, it does. We went and printed everything fresh, just 100% fresh mm-hmm. printings for that first year. Since that year, usually somewhere in the first quarter of the year, my team head to the Dragon Con office, and before they moved into their new space, they'd have to haul everything from the storage unit. Now we just go to the back of the office, which is nice. And we open every box of signs and we inventory all of them. We check it against my master spreadsheet of all the signs that we created. And for the different tracks, we save as much as possible. If the printing of a sign is damaged, like somebody wrote on the sign, because that happens, then it goes into a pile of signs, usually with the other printed schedule signs, the things we absolutely can't use from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
And they all go into boxes labeled "strip me."
That works.
Because the way that our signs, that our foam core signs are done, we print on 24 inch rolls of paper from large print plotters.
Mm-hmm.
And then we use double-sided tape to adhere those to the foam core. And for cost savings, when we need to change out signs and we have a sign that we can't reuse, we'll peel off the first sign and we'll stick on a new one, unless the foam core is too damaged, and then it goes into the chuck pile, where it goes off to a nice game store upstate, you know, lots of room to play and Warhammer and stuff.
nice big open grids to plan yep. your D&D adventure on. Yeah, dining room table size. Yeah, but that is, wow, that's a lot of signage.
Yeah, we've actually managed to cut down on, at least that first year we did it, we saved 25 hours of printing that we would have had to do by doing a full inventory and flagging things for saving and reuse. Then when we get, you guys were talking about, it's what, 42 days?
42 days yep. out, yes.
Yeah, for me, as con starts in a week.
Right.
Because you guys have to have all your stuff to me by mm-hmm. the end of the weekend. And so starting on Monday, we go into production. My second has all three of our print plotters taking up his dining room.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So from like June to September, his wife is very accommodating of his dining room turning into a printing press.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. So you have three printers, and during con, I assume that they're on site. Are they yes. constantly going, or are they just, start running at night or what have you?
They are constantly available to run. Mm-hmm. Our first year, they were still somewhat constantly running. Our second year, that eased up a bit. Last year was our best year so far.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. And we were able to, we didn't actually have to keep the printers running much throughout con. Most of the time, anytime that the printers were running, it was because they were printing off the daily track signs. See, we try to print out as many of the pre-ordered signs that come on the request forms in advance mm-hmm. of the con. And, then usually a couple weeks before con, my entire team will converge once again upon the DragonCon office, and we will have a massive boarding and sorting party.
Yeah.
Where we'll board all those signs and then sort them and prep them for delivery.
Right. And I think that's something, that's what's so amazing to me, is that you guys have these, but yet there are changes. There are big changes, sometimes mm-hmm. little changes sometimes. And you guys still are on top of them. I mean, I've gotten them. Yes, we've all gotten them where something just changed like an hour before and we've had to make do, But often I've had my schedule change the night before and my sign was correct. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't know how they did it. It was fairy magic as far as I know.
At what time at night do you start your printing for the next day, or is it?
We have to. With a daily track signs, the daily schedule signs that you see outside the rooms, mm-hmm. We try to print those 2 days at a time. So on Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening, when things have kind of slowed down a little bit from running all the deliveries, mm-hmm. that's when we will get the printers going on printing out all of Friday's signs and all of Saturday's schedule signs.
Woo.
And what we do is we put Friday on the front and then we put Saturday on the back.
Yeah.
Because awesome. Delivering during the parade is a nightmare.
Oh, geez. Well, I was going to ask you, so at what time, because they seem to magically appear out of nowhere.
Yes.
So, yeah, so when are they actually, when are the little fairies and elves delivering them in the night?
Most of my team actually delivers signs. They usually don't deliver them. If they're delivering them in the evenings, it's usually around 8 o'clock. But usually they'll show up at about 8 o'clock in the morning or so, and they'll run the morning's signs. And I just send out a reminder to the directors, going, hey, if you get to your room and it still says Friday, flip the board over. Now it's Saturday.
Now it's Saturday. Well, and that does help us a lot too. I mean, it saves you guys running around like crazy, but then it's just there. We don't have to worry about it. And I love how you've done, and I know this is kind of getting technical for people, but if you think about how big Dragon Con is, we're talking 5 hotels. We're talking America's Mart for some of the gaming stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't even imagine how you do that.
Wow, I even completely forgot about you have signs over there too.
Yeah, that's what she said. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a ridiculous stuff, but yeah. Sorry, what, John?
No, keep going.
I kind of am like, how logistically do you do that? But you've done this great thing, and it's not like, oh my God, what wonderful technology. You built the database. You just use a Google spreadsheet and it's great. Mm-hmm. Like, what's your new sign? Oh, I had this year I had 2 new signs. Put them down, all good. My other ones were like, yep, keep them all from last year. Let me move it all over. So they all say I want them all on Thursday. If you can do it on Thursday, that's great. And da 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 da. And so it's done. You already know, okay, Extract and Paranormal Track, they're using last year's signs and we need 2 more for them. You know, mm-hmm. So it's really helpful for us too, because I remember like, oh yeah, you've put them on there. I don't have to remember that I need these 4 signs all the time. And it's really been a help. I mean, I just, as someone who likes logistics and operations, I just think that's brilliant. It's brilliant. And it's really helpful, not just to you, but us mm-hmm. too. So thank you. I know that sounds a little weird. People, you're like, really? Signage? Is that? Signage is important. I was in the Marriott for years. Extract was in the Marriott and I loved it. I loved the Marriott. I loved where we were, but we were down this little hallway. And it's where costuming, I think, still is. And if you didn't know that little hallway was there, you were like, where's M206? You had no mm-hmm. idea. And so, yeah, signage was okay. We didn't know we needed a sign here, but we do. And you guys, you know, they got made and everything else. But when you get a major, we got to change something. How, as John was saying, you know, you have a cutoff time, but sometimes there's just, we got an emergency. We're not able mm-hmm. to do X. How fast can you get out a sign if that has to be done? We need it for the panel at 4 o'clock or whatever.
I mean, if, depending on which hotel it's in, because mm-hmm. we're our home office is in the Hyatt.
Yeah.
So something that's further distant, like the Hilton or maybe the Westin, that one, I mean, we could even get it. If you find out like an hour before, hey, this panel line is going to be too big for this room and we've gotten mm-hmm. clearance to move to this other room in this other hotel, we need an updated sign immediately. And for anybody who shows up after this line is gone to know where to go. There's almost always somebody hanging out in signage because it's also a very convenient home base and kind of break room for my team as well. And I am honest to God blessed with an amazing team of volunteers. Like I couldn't, I could not do this without them. And
yay, volunteers! Yeah,
they are,
yay!
They're fantastic. I adore them. They were super supportive of me when I first just sort of stepped into the mantle. And then my second year, when things got a little rough, they were like, hey, this was a rough year, but we still believe in you. And then last year, that belief was happily realized. So, yay! They're a fantastic.
I'm serious. And,
and they're awesome. And so even if I'm personally not there, there is someone who is in there or is nearby there who gets the notification of, hey, this is needed. And we'll book it down there. We'll pull up the file that has all of the daily track signs. We'll isolate that one sign and we will make an update to it. And we've actually started changing the format here a little bit where we will do a printed strike through of the original location or if it's if like the panel name has changed, which that happened at one point, we'll do a strike through and we'll put the new location or new name of the panel or new guest, whoever, whatever thing we needed to add to the sign that was different. We need to tell people we'll put it in red and we'll bold it. So it stands out, but it looks like a nice professional edit.
Yes.
Not a, hey, the frat party moved, so we scribbled it on in Sharpie.
We do try to do it the right way. We really, you know, sometimes it's rough, but we do. Yeah.
How many?
But I mean, I've left in the middle of. I know I've gone downstairs in the middle of hanging out upstairs in my off time. I've booked it down to the signage room because I've got an emergency text of going, oh my God, we need this sign. Is there anything you can do? And it's like 10:30 at night. I'm like, okay. So I just run down there, print it off. All right, where does it need to go?
That's cool.
How big is your cadre of volunteers?
I have a team of about 20 people, including myself.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's substantial. It's
That is substantial.
But again, lots of running to do.
Well,
I'm sitting here going, 5,000 signs, 20. Yeah.
Doing the math per person.
I'm doing the math. And that hurts. Yeah. And again,
and
that's
they
got to
get them in the right place.
And they got to get them in the right. And then they got to come pick them all up, John.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they don't just magically transport back?
No. Somebody needs to come up with the transporter or the fairy dust or whatever. So all of a sudden I can just push a button or sprinkle fairy dust and bingo, they all show up where they need. I love it because they'll have the little flatbed cart, like the one that's low, and they come and they say, can I have your old signs? And they put them on there and then they go. We've had to stop people from trying to steal our signs because people are like, well, I want it. And I'm like, you can't have that.
Yeah.
It's not mine.
That's my cost saving measure. Please don't.
Yeah, right. It costs a lot of money to do 5,000. No, I mean, and people are like, oh, well, we wanted
to take it.
Yes.
Now you mentioned you have those no Pokemon Go in the tunnels. Now, do you have to now do it for Wizards Unite or?
Oh, Lord.
You know, I don't have the full request of signs yet in from safety. So I would not be surprised if Wizard Unite gets added to that list.
How about just no playing games in the tunnels?
Yeah.
That would really, yeah. Don't stop in the tunnels and take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
No playing games. No werewolf on the floor. No.
Actually, you know what? I want to see that.
No, you don't, John. John, that's not
someone
funny.
Trying to play werewolf in the habit trails.
Oh, no, God, please don't. That's not funny. That's not funny, Jonathan. That is not. Oh, Lord. And could you see that habit trail that goes from, what is it, the Marriott to the food court? Oh, Lord. Oh, God. just wizard, just vampire cards everywhere. Oh, that's a terrifying nightmare. We have now given Megan a nightmare. That was, we didn't mean to do that. John, it's all John's fault.
I think it would be more of a nightmare to the safety team.
Yeah, the safety team too. Yeah, the safety team would be like, oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, my. Were there any, I'm sorry, totally off topic. Does anybody know if there were any good Pokemon characters people got at Dragon Con at any point? Because I never heard of, like, somebody was like, oh, I got this super rare thing.
Actually, last year they were running a special event in conjunction with Dragon Con, where a lot of a particular Pokemon known as, or named Unknown.
Like that.
And they're weird shaped, and they're actually sort of stylized letters with like an eye, like as an eyeball. The goal was to actually try and collect or catch all the letters that spelled out Dragon Con.
But yay.
It was a thing. It was weird.
An eyeball, But that is cool. I'm glad they did that. That is kind of cool. Yay. Okay. Well, that's cool. Okay.
I just can't imagine playing Pokemon Go, period, at Dragon Con, regardless of whether you're in the Habit Trail or not.
Well, there's so much stuff going on.
There's so much stuff going on and too many people moving.
Yeah. Well, I thought I caught it and then it got away. I hit it and it went away. I can't imagine it. Okay, so now you, because the last episode was about Kevin and Phil giving me a hard time, I want to know a funny Kevin story. Something that you guys got over on Kevin, because he's mean to me because they're over tall.
Oh my gosh.
Any story. I just like stories about Kevin. I just kind of save them up.
I mean, have you ever heard about the time that Kevin Absley accidentally stabbed one of his volunteers?
No.
Oh, well, that's better than stabbing yourself with your own badge, but yes, go on.
Okay. All right. We're not talking about that anymore. Been 10 years now. Stop it. accidentally stabbed. Oh my goodness. Oh no.
Admittedly, it was he wasn't.
The volunteer deserved it, but you know.
No.
No.
It was a few years back at the Heroes and Villains Ball.
Mm-hmm.
Back when it was still in the Sheraton. And he was dressed in a piratical outfit. And he was wearing at his waist a prop sword. And one of his volunteers, like, he had been, I think he had been, like, teasing her or something. And retaliated.
Wait, no, hold on. That's not the Kevin I know.
Kevin would never, ever tease someone in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, keep going.
She retaliated, or at least attempted to, with a friendly rump smack. However, her hand missed and caught the end of the prop sword. And thus, she was punctured.
Oh, wow, really?
Ow!
Yeah. Oh,
that
my.
Would hurt.
Oops. Yeah.
Oopsies.
They're all good.
Yeah, okay, so now the 8-bit ball, because I have been by there and looked in and went, way too many people, I'm going to hit. That's just like a big mosh pit. I wouldn't have been wearing a sword in that. That's you all are really tight in there.
Well, no, this was at Heroes and Villains.
Oh, this was at Heroes
and Villains. Saturday Night one? Yeah.
The big Saturday Night one. But still, a lot of people. And, be careful.
And I don't think it was that sharp. I think she was just going for a particularly firm
track.
Trust
me, I hate to tell you that if you're going to injure yourself and you don't mean to do it, you would be amazed at what you can do. And it doesn't look sharp or things like that. I really want to say something like, make sure you put your tip your swords with the little foam tips, but that just I can't make it come sound right.
Yeah.
There are things you can put over the end of your sword so that they're not possibly an impalement device. None of it's
safety caps.
Safety caps. Is that what they're called? Yay. Safety
caps. I have no
idea. For your sword. They're probably
that's what they're called now.
They're called now. That helps me a lot. I like that a lot better. Okay. But no, this is awesome. I know people are like, Lee, why do you get so into signage? Because it's desperately needed. Because John, without signs, how would you get from the Hyatt to the Sheraton without going outside?
Oh, without going.
You can't go outside from the Hyatt to the Sheraton without going outside. Is there a way to do it?
I don't think there is. Is there?
Yes, there is.
Does the Uber count?
Oh, well, you do have to get, you have to be outside for just a tiny little bit.
Right. Well,
there's actually a habit trail that'll go to the top of the parking deck right beside the Sheraton, and it goes down and you can get out. You would have to be probably half a block outside.
Oh, really, I never knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I kind of did know that. Is that habit trail come off of the food court?
Yes.
Okay. I guess I did.
Not the one that goes to the Marriott, but the one that, yeah, the other one.
Yeah, sprouts off the other side. Yeah.
Yep. There you go. Well, ha ha.
But there's no sign everybody that tells me that.
Actually, yeah.
Is there?
I think so. Yep. Because I had to take it one time because I was just like, I cannot be out in this heat right now.
I had to make a new one last year to direct people to the Mystery Magical SunTrust food court last year.
Oh, that place is only open on Friday and they are missing out. They need to open on Saturday and Sunday and Monday.
Yeah, and it would be awesome if they did because it would help alleviate some crowds a little bit. But obviously the bigger issue is that the rest of the building there, they would have to unlock that building. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it just, I mean, I thought you could just be right there for the food court though.
You can, but that building during the Saturday and Sunday is
the Saturday. Oh, that's true. Right. Yeah. You couldn't. Yeah. They can't just keep that food court open. Oh, that is true. But if you're there, the SunTrust food court is awesome.
Yeah, if you're there Thursday or Friday,
or if you are somebody who is starting, is now Wednesday is the new Thursday, you can do it on Wednesday too. So it's really good. It's really
good. Now, Lee wanted me to remind her about the
two things. What?
The
Atlanta Radio Theater Company. You mentioned that, Megan, just a little bit ago. So sometimes people know what these things are and what's not. But Atlanta Radio Theater Company is at Dragon Con every year. And could you kind of give an overview of what they are?
So the Atlanta Radio Theater Company is an organization, a volunteer organization based out of Atlanta that wanted to, their goal is to celebrate and resurrect the art of old time radio, but with today's technologies. So they have a variety big variety of performances that they do, and almost all of them are original writings, though they did have permission to do an adaptation of Terry Pratchett's Guards, which I believe was performed live at Dragon Con a number of years back.
I think it was with John Rhys Davies. Yeah, I think you're right, because I remember somebody was like so excited they were going to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, and if you like podcasts, there are a lot of podcasts now that are story podcasts. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can talk about Night Vale and some others, but that's what the Atlanta Radio Theater Company is doing as well. But they're doing it, you know, it's not an ongoing series. These are the stories that they tell. And it's great. It's a wonderful group. And it's really neat to try to, you know, close your eyes and think and just, you really are in the story while you guys are doing it. I've always liked that. Yeah.
Actually, they do have an ongoing one. They have a child group called Mercury, A Broadcast of Hope. And it's a really fascinating model. Each of the episodes are only about 5 minutes or so. And it runs every day. They have not missed a single day since they started it. And the story concept is the zombie apocalypse has occurred. And some number of months after the zombie apocalypse sort of peaked, a little radio station managed to get their generator running. And to try and reach out to people, they would do a daily broadcast, and they turn the generator on for a little bit each day to try and give people some hope and help them process what's going on and just kind of understand how humanity has to adjust and adapt when you have that kind of societal collapse.
It's a terrifying idea, actually, if you take some time on. Well, and just to plug them, we get no money from them. I have given them money in the past, but they're not a sponsor here, but they're a great group. And it's ARTCA, Atlanta Radio Theater Company, just the initials, .org. Mm-hmm. And it's on here. And I'm going to actually, I didn't know they had one going on. I've gone to a couple of places, other small cons, Dragon Con even, where mm-hmm. I've listened to them do stuff. I love their Christmas one too.
To perform it in Atlanta Christmas. Yeah.
My son did too for a couple of years and loved it. So yeah, it's great. And they have a featured series called Rory Rammer Space Marshal.
Yay!
And that is the most hysterical thing ever, because the year is 1980. I'm reading it directly from the site.
1985 AD. After men have landed on the moon.
You got it. There you go. I mean, that's just hysterical. I love it. That's awesome. Just think about that. When you were putting these out in the 40s, they thought we were going to have jetpacks and flying cars.
Mm-hmm.
And we should, damn it. Where are my jetpacks? And the transporters, so you don't have to carry signs around all the time.
That would be so nice.
That would be nice. Okay, John, time now to...
This is the time when I ask you to give me a number between 1 and 20.
13.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Oh, fresh pack. And it's a television trivia is what you have drawn.
Oh, so, dear.
Megan, I think this, we might be okay. You never know.
You and Lee will be competing against each other. Okay. In your random television trivia, if I can open the stupid thing. I mean, literally is a first
you
pack.
Can. Oh,
I got to get my knife here. In the meantime, if anybody needs signs printed, where can they find you? No, I'm just kidding. That's not something.
No. Dragon Con will not print your sign for your party or your meetup or things like that. No.
We get
enough crashers of people thinking that we're the art show.
Oh, really? Oh, that's kind of fun. Well, they're big poster size.
Yeah. Is this the art show or where I was coming for a class? And we're like, sure, we'll teach you how to adhere posters to foam core.
How did you get here? The art show is like, oh my God. Yeah.
They're not far, actually.
No, they're not far, but I'm like,
different when you come down the escalators in the Hyatt down to the level that the art show's on, and you see there's like six signs that direct you to the art show, those are ours. To try and get into the art show instead of our room.
Instead of coming to see you. Right, yeah. Awesome.
All right, so because the way that these cards happen to be laid out, they are laid out in decades between 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s plus. I'll give you an option. You want 80s or 90s? I'm going to imagine you don't want the other one.
90s.
All right, so we'll do 90s. We'll play to five.
Excellent.
We'll start. Sure. We'll start with you, Megan. The first one here is, what Cheers actor?
Oh God!
Went on to star in Frasier.
Oh yeah.
I am so bad with actor names. And I also never watched Cheers and only briefly caught Frasier.
Well, it's that scrambled eggs and tossed salad. What is it?
Yeah, something like that. Tossed salad and scrambled. It was weird. That was a weird show.
I have no idea.
That's okay. It's all right.
That was Kelsey Grammer. Hmm. All right, Lee.
The one person I might have known, but I couldn't remember his name.
That happens. Trust me.
All right. So, Lee, your 1990s question is, the education of Max Bickford lasted only one season. Which year was that?
And what year are these? Well, the 80s or 90s?
I should point out it's 90s plus.
Oh, it's 90s plus. That's even better. Yeah. So let's just say 2003.
Ooh, so close. 2001.
Oh,
2001 to 2002.
Space Odyssey. Yeah. Oops.
Wow, there's a lot of Frasier questions here. I'm skipping. Wow, another Frasier question.
Please.
Wow.
Well, there were more shows. Come on, man.
There were three Frasier questions in a row. Okay.
Awesome.
Oh, no, there's no way you're going to get that. there's okay. Let me literally the next question after I threw that other one away was who starred as Dr. Niles Crane on Frasier? All right.
They just really, I mean, did Kelsey Grammer pay them?
The next one is who did Dr. Niles Crane marry after he divorced his wife, Maris, on Frasier? All right, hold on. We gotta let me grab some other random.
I didn't know he married anybody else. So okay, yeah. Oops.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, okay.
Instead of this is for Megan. Yeah. Instead of Tony Shalhoub, who was the first choice for the role of Mork? Monk. Excuse me. I said Mork.
I was gonna say I'm like Mork.
Yeah, Mork.
Mork.
That's
like,
no Monk.
Robin Williams.
Monk.
Oh, first choice for Monk.
For the role of Monk, yes. I'll give you a hint. Think Seinfeld.
What is his name?
The character's name if you happen to know it from Seinfeld.
Yeah, do it.
I could possibly see it being Kramer.
That is correct. Michael Richards. Michael Richards.
Thank you.
Really? Yeah. Huh.
Okay.
I was thinking like somebody like Paul Giamatti or somebody like that, because I was like, you know, that kind of twitchy is, but he's kind of twitchy on Seinfeld. Okay.
All right, 1990s plus. Why was Will, Lee, this is for you. Why was Will sent to live with his rich relatives in Bel Air on the Fresh Prince of Bel Air?
You're moving with you? Okay. Wait, I know the whole song. Hold on.
It's just a general thing.
Oh, he got in trouble and he was doing some graffiti and other things. So he's moving with his auntie and uncle.
Yeah.
He got in trouble in Philadelphia and moving with his auntie and uncle in Bel Air.
Because this deck apparently loves to just have question after question about the
I
same
know
topic.
What the heck is going on?
All right. So in the last episode of Fresh Prince, this is for you, Megan. In the last episode of Fresh Prince of Bel Air, the Banks family sell their house to what famous TV couple, TV family?
God, I don't know if I ever actually saw the end of the show.
It is. I will tell you that this family is from a spinoff of Archie Bunker. Or All in the Family, rather.
I didn't watch that one either. I watched mostly sci-fi shows growing up.
The family that they sold it to, they weren't moving on down. They were moving on up.
Jefferson.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
What? What'd you say?
I heard her say Jefferson's.
Oh, that's a point for Megan.
I've used that sound clip in my presentations before.
I heard her say Jeffrey.
All right. What, Lee, what comedian starred in Home Improvement?
I wouldn't call him a comedian. Tim Allen.
You can call him some other things if you want.
I have a lot of other things, but I am trying to be good and not get my blood pressure up. Yeah.
All right.
So how many points? Megan has 3 points now, right?
You both have two.
Oh, okay.
Caitlin's Way aired for 2 seasons. 2000-2001 on which US network? Caitlin's Way?
I have no idea. I've never heard of the show.
So we're going to move on.
Hallmark?
It was Nickelodeon, but we're going to give you this next
Nickelodeon.
One.
Nickelodeon. Okay, give her the next one. I like that one better. Okay.
Okay, hold on. Let me grab another. Jeez, Home Improvement question.
Oh, dear
Lord. I know Home Improvement.
Okay.
Give her a Home Improvement.
Right,
oh, my.
Home Improvement took place in what city, Megan?
Oh, God. These are the things I didn't pay attention to.
John, can you give us like a state?
I regret speaking up.
Michigan. It's the Motor City.
Oh, Detroit?
Detroit is correct. Yes. Yay, good point.
Yay! Sorry, I'm just getting giggly.
In a rare change of heart, Lee, CBS briefly reinstated what canceled show in 2007? And I will tell you that this show would be found on the Apocalypse track. I forget what the actual title for that track is, but Apocalypse Rising.
The only one I can... It was Apocalypse Rising. It was in what year?
2007.
Was that Jericho?
That was correct, Jericho.
Yay! I remember that show. It wasn't as bad as some. Okay.
it was fine the first couple of seasons, and then it kind of went
and
crazy.
Then it kind of just was like, you need to have that ending.
It wasn't as bad as the bubble thing. Dome.
Yeah.
The bubble thing, whatever it's called.
Well, the bubble thing didn't make any sense as a damn book, so I don't know how in the world they thought it was going to make sense as
Megan, Keenan Ivory Wayans created, wrote, and starred in which Fox TV show? Keenan Ivory Wayans created, wrote, and starred in which Fox TV show?
Oh, God. I know this. I used to see
there's a 90s band with a similar name.
And Paula Abdul danced on it.
Was it Paula Abdul? No, it wasn't Paula Abdul. No, it was J-Lo, was it?
Oh, J-Lo. Yeah, sorry. Right, J-Lo. She started as a dancer on it.
She's a fly girl. They were called the Fly Girls.
Fly Girls. And it was very bright and filled with...
In Living Color?
Yes! Color.
Yay! Megan's at 4, right? Please tell me Megan's at 4.
Yes.
Yay!
And Lee, and Just Shoot Me, who played the magazine tycoon Jack Gallo? And Just Shoot Me.
I actually saw that. It was George. Mm-hmm. I can see his little face.
You can see
George Siegel?
That's correct.
Oh, wow. Okay. I am very surprised that I didn't figure that one out. I think I saw like one season of that. All righty.
All right. So this is for the win here, Megan. Since you're mm-hmm. on. What is the name of the dog on Mad About You?
Oh, I never watched that one.
John, she didn't watch that show, so give her another question. Murray was the answer, but yeah.
Murray is correct.
Because it was a really cute dog, and I'm into really cute dogs.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Which Miami Vice actor starred as Nash Bridges in the show of the same name? Which Miami Vice actor starred as Nash Bridges in the show of the same name?
He was before
really familiar.
Yeah. And he's
the one.
He was
looking for a heartbeat beating like his.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's a song. You're not going to. Oh,
that was an awful song. Oh, John, why are you doing that to anybody? Oh, now you got that in my head. I hate you. I'll never sleep tonight. Okay. She needs another question.
I'm sorry. I misspoke. I misspoke on that. I meant to say Don Johnson, but I messed it up.
Okay, there we go.
Who is the cigar smoking clown on The Simpsons?
Oh, that's Krusty.
Krusty!
Yay! Wins!
Yeah, I read books a lot.
I did too. And the 90s were. I had just gotten out of college. I was working. I was glad I caught the X-Files in the 90s because I didn't have a whole lot of TV time. I don't remember.
I was in elementary school.
Oh.
Oh, that is true. Oh, here we are. I just realized that was.
Oh, okay. My heart hurts. Right. Oh,
I'm
John.
33.
Right. You just realized you're like a whole years younger than us. I should hold on. Just out of curiosity, I got this 2000 trivia set right here. 2000s TV. Gordo from Lizzie McGuire was played by this curly haired actor. Do you know who that was?
I don't. I had aged out of Lizzie McGuire by the time it was a thing.
Okay.
Who was it?
Oh, it was.
I never watched.
It was Adam Lamberg. I don't know who that is.
All right,
so let's try this. Let's try this one. How did Andy break his leg in the first episode of Parks and Rec?
Oh God, I should know this because I only actually started watching Parks and Rec last year.
Well, then you suffered through the first season, which is all about this thing.
Oh God, what was he doing?
He fell in the pit. He fell in the pit.
Oh yeah!
Because the whole first
the pit.
The
okay.
Yeah. I tell everyone who watches the show, you can always go back and watch the first season, but start with the second season.
Because
the first season,
there are shows like that, yes,
was, in hindsight, is really good and sets up a lot of things, but the relationships and everything, but the whole fact that they obsessed about that pit the entire season was just annoying to no end. So Megan, thank you for joining us and congratulations on your win. We will be sending you a no prize immediately.
Yeah, there's no prize for that, but it was fun. Yeah.
And you know, I would say, you know, visit her at her sign thing, but that seems just weird.
Please don't visit her.
Seems weird. Unless you want to be put to work, I suppose.
The best thing that can be done is don't write on my signs and don't steal my signs.
That is there true. That is
be
very
kind.
True.
Don't write on my signs.
Right. Don't write on them.
Everybody here likes Megan. Please, please, please make her job next year even easier by not writing on all of her signs.
Because see, we don't want them to spend money on signage. We want them to spend money on matching donations for the charity for the American Heart Association, so that they save the money on signs and then they can match us up to $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So $200,000.
You're taking. See, every time you write on one of those signs, you're taking money away from somebody that could use it at the American Heart Society. Really, that's really what it is. What's happening? So
we can try there. I'm trying, John.
I hope you feel bad when you do that.
No. We don't want you to feel bad.
No, I want you to feel bad if you're writing on her sign.
Yeah, don't write on your sign. Don't write or steal the signs. That's right. Yeah, you do feel bad about that.
Anyway, until next time, for Megan and Lee, this is John saying peace.
Bye.
My mouse won't wake up. Okay.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.